I know you swear by the Ingles salad bar, is it, right? The deli's good.
Yes.
These are your go-tos. There are a lot of go-tos at Ingles. You can get your Advantage card today and save a boatload of money on your groceries, on your gas, everything you can possibly want. I'm looking at the sheet right now. I know Mickey Plyler's smiling somewhere because there's Bluebell ice cream available for only $3.98 each. You can get his vanilla bean. You can get cheap produce. Apples are cheap, 98 cents a pound right now for apples. I'm sure you can find freaking rice cakes and milk for cheaper than you can find them anywhere else at Ingles. If you're Lane Kiffin, congrats, Lane. Ingles, low prices, love the savings, and get your Ingles Advantage card either physically or on your phone or on your preferred mobile device, and save money on your gas as well. Save at the pump, save at the register. Ingles, low prices, love the savings. Ton of phone calls today. 864-654-ROAR is the number. We've got three on hold right now. We're going to go to you first, Jerry and Anderson. If you're holding on after that, stick around. We'll get to you next. Jerry, I appreciate you holding on. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, bud. How you doing?
I'm good.
You know, about Kiffin, you know, in this day and age, you know, you're not going to coach next week, okay, or whatever they play again. You know, you're done at Ole Miss. Go do your job at LSU. I feel the same way about Sumrall, or if I'm saying his name right, Tulane's coach and South Florida's coach. You're done. Again, you, fine and dandy. You've got promotions. You got bigger jobs. Fine and dandy. But you're done there now. You're done. Because, again, in my mind, the way it works, your heart's not going to be in it. I don't need you there. And as far as it's the committee, were to leave Ole Miss out, which I don't think they will, because of Lane Kiffin, forget about this crap. Forget about playoffs. Forget about college football. Blow it all up. That would be ridiculous. I mean, it was already bad enough about Jordan Travis, okay? You know, again, you know, that was bad enough. But if this were to happen to Ole Miss, and I'm not an Ole Miss fan, you don't want to know what I really think about the SEC and what I think the letters stand for. Okay? But if you leave Ole Miss out, I would put no credence on this playoff or anything going forward. And Clemson can go win three national championships. And again, for me, I could care less. If Ole Miss is left out of this because you left your coach, that is sad.
Jerry, I do agree to an extent, and I appreciate the phone call. Ole Miss can't let Lane Kiffin coach, and they were correct not to let him coach in the playoff. There were probably players that wanted him to coach and wanted Lane Kiffin to be their playoff coach going in, and it may help them with the committee and being able to convince the committee, hey, we still have our coach. Even if he's leaving, we still have the same personnel that we had all year long. We deserve the bid. It may hurt them that they don't let him coach that game, but it's a principle thing for Keith Carter and that athletic staff that he's leaving you for a direct rival and he's trying to embarrass you, whether intentional or not, on the way out. And he has embarrassed you on the way out and he's embarrassed himself, and you cannot let him coach in that game. I slightly disagree with the sense that John Sumrall, for example, can't coach at Tulane in a playoff game. Very different, and while he may be a little distracted having that job lined up, I think the players would want Sumrall to coach. They still haven't locked up the bid, and they're only going to have a chance if they win that conference championship game. And I think what he's built there is a little different than Kiffin building at Ole Miss. The resources are not the same. The achievement of getting to the playoff, while it's incredible for both programs, isn't necessarily the same. It's a bigger deal probably for a team like Tulane. And I don't think it's fair to the kids who probably want a guy like that to coach, who has gotten them to this point as their leader, to take him out of that job going into the playoff. I think it would actively hurt them more than it's going to hurt the product on the field for Ole Miss. However, we'll see how that shakes out. We'll see if Tulane even gets to the playoff. They've got to win a game to get there, and they've got to handle their business against a very good North Texas offense to even have a case to have a chance to play in that playoff game, as what at this point, if Duke wins the fourth auto bid, which is ridiculous that a group of five could be the fourth auto bid. Jason in Columbia. Jason, you've been holding on for a while. I appreciate it, my man. And I will give you your credit for Brock Purdy beating my Browns yesterday, if there's any credit to be given for that.
You know, I'm very concerned with our guy Faxon. You know, on Friday, as I hung up, he said, I am a proud Brock Purdy hater. I mean, how can you hate Brock Purdy? That's like hating apple pie and, you know, baseball and Americana. I mean, who in the world hates Brock Purdy? But we'll talk with Faxon later about that. I hope he enjoyed the little Dougie little dance there in the end zone yesterday. That was funny.
I enjoyed the fact that you helped our draft position out, so I'll take it. We need Dante Moore or Fernando Mendoza in any way possible, and that ain't happening if San Francisco loses that game.
No, I understand completely. You know, on the Lane Kiffin front, you know, I have a good friend. Shockingly, he's a Gamecock. And when he met his first wife, she was married to another guy, and he's on wife number three. So you can theorize how that exactly happened. As they say, what's good for the goose is good for the gander frequently. Man, and I'll give a shout-out to caller Jerry. I know Jerry enjoyed this weekend tremendously. And I want to give a shout out to Mr. Ben Milstead for breaking out the lucky shoes in Columbia. You guys came back with a radio call from Mr. Munson and Reggie. You know, I saw so many people on Twitter complaining about the SEC Network announcers. Couldn't be me. I had it synced up to the roar. I had a wonderful listening experience, man. Don Munson and Reggie and Tim Ray did a great job. It's so funny when you hear that Todd Ellis clip floating around with the pick six. It takes him about 3 minutes to finally admit that it was a touchdown for Clemson. I mean, our guys are so professional. I appreciate that. But just what a difference Ben Milstead this Monday from a year ago. If I recall correctly, we had callers telling Kwok to get over it and quit talking about the South Carolina game in the first segment. And then someone actually asked Kwok, how old are you? I still am not sure what that had to do with anything. So I was thinking about you guys during the game, like, man. And I listened to Kwok on the post-game show and with Donnell, and, man, that was a lot of fun. So it's funny the things that go through your mind when you get a win in this series, and you think no matter what else happens the rest of the season, and we know that there are things that need to be done with Clemson football, but it's going to be a good year in the Palmetto State on one front in particular. So I was thinking about you guys, and I'm sure you had a lot of fun. I mean, I don't need to tell you, Ben, since 1980, Clemson's only lost 5 times in Columbia, and it didn't happen again. So I really enjoyed that game. And I know one of the callers last hour referenced the fact that, you know, Clemson was not soft. I mean, that was something that was so impressive to me. We might mess around and make plays a little bit harder than they need to be, and we might miss a wide-open guy in the end zone from time to time, but I was so proud of the offensive line, especially given the injuries, and the defensive line, excuse me, and guys like Adam Randall, Wade Woodaz, Sammy Brown, who just played with that physicality, and that's something that just is so good to see as from a Clemson perspective. But guys, hey, enjoy the next year. Wherever you are out there, Peppermint Patty, we still got love for you. As Dabo said, that's 9 out of 11. 9 out of 11. Get the math right.
Jason, appreciate you calling in, my friend. As always, have a great rest of your day and a great rest of your week. And again, thanks for beating the Browns yesterday. We needed that one bad. The lucky shoes, man. You can't deny the impact at this point.
You know, I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. And so 4 games ago, I broke out the 2018 team-issued orange and white Nike shoes. I have not worn them since the 2018 season, which was pretty good around here. And we are now, the team is now undefeated with those shoes on. So, coincidence? I think not.
I think you need to be a little bit more superstitious.
They are now in
the
safe at home as where they belong.
Behind lock and key.
Yes, and it doesn't bother me at all that they're outdated. I will wear them proudly.
There's nothing outdated about winning. Winning is always in style. Winning's always in fashion. It hasn't been in fashion for much of the year. Keep them safe behind lock and key. Other programs are going to try and come get them.
Jason was talking about the stats and the winning streak in Columbia, which kind of shocks me, to be honest with you, that Clemson has been so successful in Columbia, and the home teams have been successful or the road teams rather. Have been successful recently, but Clemson football, Ross Taylor, SID for Clemson football, put this out today. Cumulative game control breakdown in the 6-game win streak in Columbia. Clemson's led 288 minutes. That's 80% of the games. They've been tied 71 minutes, 19.9%, and they have trailed a grand total of 0 minutes in the 6-game win streak in Columbia.
Domination on the road. You love to see that. Hopefully that's a trend that continues. Hopefully they can bounce back next time out and win at home so they get back on the right track there. I have no idea what next year looks like for South Carolina, to put it candidly. I really can't get a grip of what it's going to be, or Clemson.
Or anybody.
Or anybody. Anybody except Ohio State, probably. It feels like it's pretty hard to predict what's going on. But I can say I would like you to wear the shoes to Baton Rouge next year, please. And please bring home a win against Lane Kiffin, because that would be very, very funny.
They will be worn until they lose their powers, and then they will most likely be donated to someone who needs shoes.
That's how it should go. Wear them until they're not powerful anymore. Please beat LSU. From one Jason on the phone lines to another, Jason, I appreciate you holding through a couple callers. How you doing today, man?
Doing great. Thanks for taking my call. I didn't enjoy Saturday too much. My volunteers laid another egg at home this year. But neither here nor there. I really just called to talk about with the whole thing with Lane Kiffin. You know, this is not what he's doing leaving when he's competing for a national championship. It's pretty unprecedented. It's not totally unprecedented. The one time I know Johnny Majors was at Pitt and they were undefeated. It was when they had Tony Dorsett going to play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl in 76 and took a job at his alma mater at Tennessee. But he coached the bowl game. And, of course, they won the national championship that season. Kind of a difference there. He went to his alma mater, you know, Pitt and Tennessee, or bitter rivals, one like he went to Penn State or West Virginia. And that was so kind of a different scenario, but still similar. You remember in basketball, Roy Williams, of course, did not accept the North Carolina job. Before Kansas had finished out their season, but you know, pretty much all the whole country knew what was going to happen, and he did. And then but his departure was, wasn't nothing like this. And basketball, I thought this was interesting. And also, Bill Frieder in 1989 was hired at Arizona State from Michigan. So Bo Schembechler, the athletic director, he said, "Oh, that's not going to happen." So he fired him. He hired Steve Fisher as his interim coach. And as y'all probably know, Michigan won the national championship that season. And then Frieder, of course, had the, stayed to state at Michigan. You know, had the Fab Five, and I don't know their history. But I'll tell you, though, I can't blame Lane for taking the job. It's, LSU won 3 national championships this past 20-something years with 3 different coaches. Yep. Lane Kiffin, or not Lane Kiffin, but Nick Saban, Hall of Famer. And then you had coach after him, what was his name? Who replaced Saban?
Oh, my brain's slipping. They won one with Orgeron, obviously.
Les Miles?
Les
Miles, that's right. Les Miles, the average coach. Orgeron, I think, probably below average coach. So, you don't have to be a great coach to win there. Just to get great players. I think LSU's one of the best jobs in the country. I don't blame him for taking it. Maybe it's kind of shady the way it happened, but I don't know. I probably would have taken the job too, LSU making the right move by not letting him coach the next game. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate it, Jason. And, the question for me is never should he have taken the job. I absolutely agree. It's a step up. When Brian Kelly got fired, I said on Mickey's show that LSU's next coach needs to make the playoff every year. And that needs to be the expectation, however ridiculous that sounds, because that is what LSU fans expect, and that's what, with multiple national championships over the last 20 years, they should be doing. LSU should be in the national championship conversation every single year. 10 wins plus every year. You don't get down years there. That's one of those schools where you can't have down years. You can't let the foot up off the gas, and Lane Kiffin's going to be thrown into that situation. There is a lot more pressure on him to win immediately there than there would have ever been for him to win at Ole Miss. National championships are not the expectation or the requirement at Ole Miss. Getting them to the playoff and being competitive in a playoff setting is where they need to be and where Kiffin had them. That's not a national championship expectation, though. Kiffin is taking a major risk by stepping up into a better job financially and a better job recruiting-wise, most likely. But he's also taking that risk of public perception of him's not great now. Unless he wins and wins big immediately, it's going to be a shorter leash than he probably wants, at least publicly. And LSU has shown over the last couple years now with Brian Kelly and with Orgeron getting the boot pretty quickly after winning that national championship with Burrow and company, they are willing to move on from you, take a financial hit, seeing as they're paying three coaches right now, to go and get an upgrade if they feel like they have to do it. And, of course, on top of that, the state government is involved in Louisiana. So that adds another wrinkle that doesn't exist in a lot of other jobs. It is a jump for Lane Kiffin. It's a jump he probably needed to make or wanted to make for sure. It's a better job. But again, the way he handled it was piss poor, in my opinion. It's really that simple. It's just a bad way to handle the job. Before we get to our final segment here and our final break, let me tell you about Upcountry Fiber. Upcountry Fiber brings fiber optic high-speed internet service to the Blue Ridge Electric customers and the surrounding area. Blue Ridge serves portions of Anderson, Oconee, Pickens, Greenville, and Spartanburg counties. And you can join the network with the fastest internet speeds available over 100% fiber directly to the home with Upcountry Fiber. It's a stronger connection. Ben, we use Upcountry Fiber. We're in the Upcountry Fiber studios here in Easley. I'm looking through the glass at you, and you have 50 different monitors on in front of you, and they're all functioning at high capacity.
Yes.
So that's about as good of an endorsement as you can have. The fact that we're on air functioning right now is an endorsement. Upcountry Fiber, for the strongest connection, get Upcountry Fiber today. Hour number three in the show concludes after a quick break. We're going to go rapid fire, Ben, around the country. There are about 50,000 coaching openings right now. There are a lot of guys getting hired. There was a hiring at UCLA during the show. Going to get rapid fire thoughts on each of those. See what you think immediately. And where these teams that don't have a coach move forward here in the next few weeks with the playoff coming up and coaching openings starting to dwindle a little bit. Last segment of the show here on Out of Bounds. Sam Jones filling in for William Quackenbush. Ben Milstead here as always. Stick around. We'll be right back.
60 years is a long time, especially when you're talking about how long a company has been in business. But that's exactly how long Joe Roberson and Son have been servicing and installing roofs right here in the upstate. 60 years. That means that many of the roofs you see every day, your neighbors, the roof at your favorite restaurant, or even the roofs you're driving past right now are likely a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Now you might be wondering why so many people here in the upstate have chosen Joe Roberson and Son for their roofing needs for six decades. And the answer is simple. They were founded on the principles of providing quality workmanship, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. When you work with them, you won't pay a single dime until the job's been completed to your satisfaction. So if you have any roofing needs, do what so many people in the upstate have done for the past 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Call 246-0886. That's 246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
When downtime isn't an option, you need a team that knows motors inside and out.
Doug Powell and his team at IMS are knowledgeable, dependable, fast, and always willing to work around our needs. Doug's just a phone call away and always ready with valuable advice.
From repairs to replacements, Industrial Motor Service keeps your operation moving with trusted expertise and responsive service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com today. Industrial Motor Service, keep your power in motion.
Don't miss out on this week's specials at Buff City Soap. With products for everyone, corporate gifts, pet products, laundry, soap, seasonal scents, and more. Follow Buff City Soap Clemson and Buff City Soap Greenville on Facebook and Instagram for the latest sales and updates.
Searching for your dream home? Great Southern Homes is here to make it happen. Whether it's your first house or your forever home, we offer an amazing selection of plans and communities to fit every lifestyle. With endless personalization options and upgrades, you can create a space that's designed to fit your unique taste. From Clemson to Columbia and beyond, we'll help you find the perfect place place, whether it's right around the corner or across the state. Discover greatness reimagined and check out our Clemson communities at greatsouthernhomes.com.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one. Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
It's that time of year again, and you're trying to figure out what gifts to get your family. We know everyone is busy, and who wants to deal with all the Christmas traffic and shopping congestion? Elite Custom Golf Carts wants to make your life easy. Come and see us and get a gift the whole family will love. With free delivery in our custom sleighs and complete with a big red bow, you'll see the shine in your family's eyes when they see your Christmas surprise. Stop by one of our three locations in the upstate and let our elves, oh, I mean friendly staff, help you find that perfect gift. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Do you need to reboot your style? If your work boots kick the bucket, then get to Harrison. We're the boot capital of the world with more in-stock boots than anyone. Work boots, western boots, hiking boots, rain boots, and plenty of wow boots. Job site, rodeo, tailgate, honky-tonk, Harrison's has boots for all walks of life. But if you need to put your best foot forward, stop by Harrison, the home of work, western, and wow! Come see us in Malden and Spartanburg or shop online at harrisonsusa.com. Boots you're after, Harrison's has them.
The Roar, the only place in the upstate where you can get 13 hours of live and local sports talk daily. Oh, believe me, we've checked. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Snap to Sellers, wants to throw. Looking, goes across the middle, ball batted up in the air, and it's picked! Ricardo Jones at the 10, going to take it into the end zone! Touchdown!
Holy moly!
See my share of broken halos, folding wings that used to fly. They've all gone wherever they go. Broken halos.
Final segment of the day here on Out of Bounds. Sam Jones filling in for William Quackenbush. Ben Milstead here, as always. We're going to rapid-fire these coaching openings here, Ben, because they're starting to get filled, and there have been some up-and-down hires, I would say, so far. I think LSU hiring Kiffin's going to kind of open the floodgates here. I think we're going to get a resolution somewhat quickly, or at least a target for the Penn State job. Kentucky's opened up now. There are still SEC jobs to be filled. UCLA hired Bob Chesney in the middle of our show today. A lot of stuff happening. So I'm going to ask you a broad-stroke question here first. Of the jobs that have been filled so far, best hire and worst hire go.
Oh, man.
Yep. We're ripping the Band-Aid off.
Worst is Silver Spoon, Silver Fish, Silver something at Arkansas.
Incredible how quickly that one comes to mind, huh?
I don't know if that's bad or not. To be honest with you, I don't know who that is. Nor do I really care. For all the negative, I mean, the best has to be Lane Kiffin, right?
I think for LSU, they had to swing huge, and they swung huge with Kiffin. I think Kiffin's probably the best coach available from a he's going to recruit the crap out of that state. He's going to recruit really well. He's going to get you into the playoff, and you're going to have a good offense. Does the pressure and the baggage that kind of comes with Lane Kiffin cause you problems? That will be the question. Can I raise you a Jim Mora at Colorado State, although it's under the radar? Look what Jim Mora just did at UConn.
I know. He has
a 9-win football team up in UConn.
Absolutely. He has he sort of reinvented himself as a coach now. And, I mean, he took a tough job and turned him into a winner.
I think Colorado State's going to turn it around very quickly. They were torn apart, really, by Jay Norvell there. Virginia Tech still looks like a winner to me.
Oh, how did I forget that?
A week and a half later.
Thank you. Yes.
I think it's got to still be James Franklin. What they're going to, and the fact that they did it 2 weeks ago still, to me, stands out as probably the best hire. They're going to be very good very quickly. They've already flipped a ton of guys from Penn State and a bunch of guys who decommitted and are going to go there. They're going to get the portal heavily. That's going to be a really fun team to watch going forward. I'm very interested to see what they look like next year against Clemson. That'll be a fun game. it's hard to argue against Franklin as the hire of the cycle still so far, and it was really the first one that anyone made.
See, the fact that I forgot about that really speaks to how well that was handled. You're right. That is the hire, not Lane Kiffin.
And obviously, I like John Summerall. I think that's a pretty good hire for Florida. We'll see if Tulane goes out there and wins and gets himself into the playoff. I think that makes it an even better hire. That's a huge game for them to still win.
I like Goldschmidt at Auburn.
Offense is going to be good. If Alex Golish is there, you know you're going to have a good offense at Auburn the next couple years. I liked Summerall coming out, and I think it was important that he emphasized this. You had the first PR paragraph in his coaching announcement that he was taking the Florida job, and then in the second half, he pens it himself and says, we need to have an explosive offense here at Florida. That's not a wish, that's a requirement. I'm going to hire the best offensive mind I possibly can to give this team a good offense. They have not had that the last few years. They've had the talent from a recruiting point of view, the stars line up, the talent at quarterback with the five-star DJ Lagway lines up. Can they find a quarterback, an offensive coordinator, and an offense that puts up points? Because the defense has been good the last few seasons. They have not been able to keep the ball out of harm's way, and they have not been able to get down the field consistently in the SEC. I appreciate that Summerall was blunt with that and said straight out, I need to hire the best offensive mind humanly possible for this job. And I think he knows that if he doesn't, it's going to be a similar situation to what Billy Napier has been dealing with the last few years. I trust that Summerall will be a better coach. The question is, as it always is with mid-major coaches or group of five coaches stepping up to the SEC, will Summerall be another Billy Napier where he was really good in the Sun Belt and then he steps up and he gets to the American and he's pretty good there and then he struggles in the SEC, or is he going to go up and is he going to be an excellent jump? Is he going to be a Kurt Cignetti going from James Madison up to Indiana? Does he settle somewhere in the middle? I think it's a fine hire. It doesn't jump out either direction for me. It certainly comes with a lot less pressure than some other jobs. At least it comes from a little bit less pressure than like Lane Kiffin stepping in immediately and expecting to win a national championship at LSU in the next 2 or 3 years. I think Summerall will be a good hire. I like Golish too. I don't think anyone's done anything too silly. I do think Arkansas could have aimed a little higher than Ryan Silverfield, though. They don't win big games. He's not a big game winner. They absolutely should be competing for a college football playoff berth right now, and they're not. It just seems to me, and you can look at how the Arkansas fan base has handled this, this is a disappointing hire. It keeps Arkansas, I think, near the bottom of the SEC consistently for the next few years. I think they're going to get out-recruited in a lot of ways, and Silverfield has really shown no indication that he's going to be a big-game winner, and every game in the SEC is a big game. How do you not hire one of these G5 coaches who wins the big games? It just seems like a bit of a baffling one to me. Elsewhere, I do want to point out, Michigan State with the quickest coaching search in the history of college football, moving on from Jonathan Smith and then having Pat Fitzgerald on the plane 20 minutes later.
It's the same announcement.
It literally came
We're
in
firing
the same
Jonathan
hour.
Smith and eyeing Fitzgerald.
I like Pat Fitzgerald for this job. I think he's a better coach than Smith. I will say it's been a couple years. A lot has changed in the last 2 or 3 seasons since Fitzgerald was last coaching at Northwestern. Obviously, lawsuits forced him out of there. That was not a clean break. There are a lot of things that are different than when Pat Fitzgerald was last coaching, with how quickly things change in college football these days. How will he manage NIL up there? How will he manage the transfer portal? Who is going to be playing quarterback for that team next year? Nick Marsh already hit the portal today. He's their number one receiver. There are players that are going to leave that team. He's going to have to rebuild it from the ground up because it's been an ugly past half decade, really, at Michigan State through these last two coaching cycles. That's a very difficult job right now, and a lot has changed since he last coached. So, interesting hire. We'll see if it pans out. It's very clear, however, that they had that one in the pipeline for a long time, and they were plotting and planning it for a very long time because Pat Fitzgerald was hired the minute they fired their coach, which I didn't expect them to do, to be transparent with you.
I will be paying attention to this trickle-down effect now when jobs like James Madison become vacant, North Texas, teams like that. Does someone take a chance on like a Lincoln Riley or a Garrett Riley, rather? Or, you know, they're going to also be filling staffs at all of these positions. It's not – we always focus on head coaches, but there's GA types that will be moving up. There are current OCs and DCs that will be moving into head coaching jobs. You got to think that impacts Clemson and others in some way eventually. you know, and I would, I'd honestly be shocked if some of that doesn't impact Clemson even before a bowl game this year.
When you,
because there's going to be a lot of people with moving trucks in the coaching profession in the next 30 days. I mean, a lot.
Well, we've been talking about Garrett Riley potentially not coaching at Clemson in a completely different light than this for the past month or two, where a lot of people want to see Garrett Riley gone in this fan base, and he might move up in that sense to a head coaching job. I do think it's possible.
He's never shied away from that. I mean, this was a stepping stone, and that's Coach Sweeney has said in the past, that's what he wants from assistants, to have aspirations of being a head coach someday.
There are two current, Virginia's probably going to be a playoff team. They might be a playoff team. They've got Tony Elliott, Brett Venables at Oklahoma is probably going to be a playoff team. There are multiple Clemson coordinators right now as head coaches of likely or going to be playoff teams. Garrett Riley probably not going to be in the conversation for the jobs that we all hoped when they hired him a couple years ago that he would be in the conversation for, but I bet he's in the conversation at a place like Memphis or North Texas or somewhere like that where they're looking to possibly try and find a up-and-coming offensive mind to try and get them into the next era after they lose their coach. I'm not sure if it's a good hire, to be transparent with you, but I do think he's more likely to have success somewhere in the Texas-Oklahoma region than he would here, and it just hasn't worked out the way that maybe it was expected to here in the last couple years. I don't know where Penn State's going, Ben. And that feels like the domino that has to fall for everything else to fall here. Penn State has kept it, whether or not they wanted Cignetti at the beginning, I'm sure they did. They're not going to get him. Do they want Kalen DeBoer? Is Kalen DeBoer going to leave Alabama? That's a whole different question. I don't think he probably will. Do they want Josh Heupel? The point is, we have no idea where they're going right now. And it feels like a month or two after firing James Franklin, with Franklin multiple weeks into another job already, that job would have been filled right now, or we should know who they're looking at. And we have no clue.
Yeah, I don't think the Kalen DeBoer thing is off the table. And I wonder if like a Brian Hartline is their safety blanket guy.
Kentucky apparently is going to have interest in Hartline. Both coordinators at Oregon are going to have heavy interest from teams. Stein, LePoy, Cal is open now, and that's one that they've been looking at Tosh for a little while there, possibly. That's a good job right now, for what it's worth. Cal's, I think, could be a sleeping giant in a lot of ways, and I'm a little stunned they moved on from Justin Wilcox at a 7-5 season. There are just so many dominoes yet to fall. Congratulations to Kentucky for finally firing Mark Stoops, but waiting till the absolute end of the season to do it in the most crowded coaching carousel of all time, when like half the jobs are already filled. That's pretty on the nose, I think, for Kentucky, unfortunately. That feels like it's going to be one of the coordinators, whether that's Hartline or Stein at Oregon. It feels like they're going to go in the direction of a younger offensive mind to try and find a quarterback that they haven't been able to find for the last few seasons and get that program headed back in the right direction. There is just so much unknown right now, and that includes Clemson, because Garrett Riley could take one of those jobs. Garrett Riley could be gone next year anyway. You could be looking at position coaches leaving if that's the case. Everything affects everybody right now, and there is always a domino that's going to fall that you don't expect to fall, and I think that Penn State is the job that kind of controls all that, Ben, and from there we will see a lot of things happen very, very quickly.
Yeah, there were other things that happened since we were last together. I did want to mention Clemson basketball Friday night, a 92-56 win over Alabama A&M. It was 27-4. 9 minutes into the game.
It's a good basketball team.
27-4. Not a great opponent, I get it, but you did what you were supposed to do to bad opponents and just absolutely dominated them. Had seven different players hit a three-pointer in this game. RJ Godfrey was great. Justin Porter, another great game by him. And, Wednesday night, you're going to get a real test. Go to Tuscaloosa. Play Alabama again. It just won't be the A&M variety. So looking forward to that one. That one is at 7:15 tip off here on the Roar Wednesday night.
Yeah, this is when you look for signs of progress for this basketball team. Yeah. This is your test. I don't know if they're going to beat Alabama. They probably won't, being realistic, but I think they have a chance to compete in that game, and it's a very different look than you're looking at with other teams. They play a ridiculously fast pace. They are unbelievably athletic across the board. Guards are athletic. They can get up on they're vertical. Like, this is a team that is going to give you problems that other teams don't necessarily provide. Clemson 34th in the first net rankings today. Nothing people like more than getting net rankings every week in basketball because no one understands exactly what they mean. But Clemson is 34th, sandwiched between 5-2 Florida and 7-0 Belmont, with Georgia sitting right behind them at 36th. BYU coming up on the schedule in a little while as well. AJ DeBonsa, Richie Saunders, and all that group. That's a really good basketball team. You're going to get a good litmus test for where Clemson men's basketball is right now in these next couple weeks. They beat two pretty solid teams last week with Georgia and West Virginia. They lost that game to Georgetown that they could have won. Now you're going to see them play against legitimate 1-2-3 seed level college basketball teams, and you're going to learn pretty quickly if they can hang and make a tournament run down the stretch.
Yeah, Alabama and BYU back-to-back here.
Have fun. If they can win one of those, I mean, that's fantastic. It's going to be a very, very fun weekend and a very fun week for Clemson men's basketball. 34th in the early net, and they look pretty good to start the year. Road Rage with